All the Rage with John Bowd on www.traxfm.org.
Welcome to All the Rage. It's a special version this week. It's summer, and it is summer, certainly here in London, has been. So me and John had a brief discussion. Basically, that discussion was, John said, let's do a music show for the summer. And I said, okay then, that was the discussion. But it is that time for All the Rage Summer Special on Tunes. Now, the tunes that John and Julie have given me, I probably have heard of them, and I probably haven't. But then that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. And sometimes we need to be educated. Either on the show officially or musically. And music, I always say, and I'm very wary of people when they say, well, I know everything. You know, when it comes to music production, sampling, hip-hop, house, and so forth. Oh, I know it all. Never, ever, ever have I met someone who actually knows it all, especially music production. So when we talk about hip-hop and sampling, there's many record shops, record fairs in the UK and America, and you'll see all the big hip-hop producers literally taking these USB turntables with them to these old record shops just to find that 4-beat sample, and they literally come out of there with 100 records. And these are well-known producers. Hank Shockley is one, him of Public Enemy, for example, Ice Cube, Jazzy Jeff, LL Cool J, Common, all the big Puff Daddy, they just go record shops because they still don't know it all. They still don't know artists that release this, release that. I didn't know they did that. And that's always a good sign for me, learning. John?
Yeah, well, music is a wondrous thing, as we all know. And I know if you're a regular listener of this, you'll know that we do a Christmas music show to celebrate the alternative world of Christmas music rather than the crap you normally get. And it was just that this year, I just thought it'd be fun to do a summer one. I don't think this will be a regular thing. I just thought it would just be a little bit fun to do it. I will say a couple of specifics, though, before we go into this. Just like Christmas, I really hate summer. I hate hot weather. I hate the way people think sunshine solves problems. All those people that pretending this country becoming hotter is not a really, really terrible and frightening thing. But as far as songs are concerned, there is no specific summer sound for this season or any other. I have these strange feelings in certain seasons where a particular kind of music just sounds right at that time. For instance, in the winter time, I like to listen to David Bowie's 5 album cycle from Station to Station through Low, Heroes, Lodger and Scary Monsters. They sound good the rest of the year, but they just sound very, very good in the winter. In the autumn, I might countless mixtapes because I just love autumn, and there's particular songs that jump out to me at that time of year. And summertime, I've made a couple. I made another one this year. So I just thought it doesn't have to have any specific criteria. And some of these might not even be your favorite songs, but it's just that they might have a particular glory, if you like, for you in and around a certain time of year, weather conditions, light cycles, times of year relating to memories, or basically whatever you want to attach to it. And some of the songs we're going to play tonight, well, some of them are mine and some of them are Julie's, so they're going to be a kind of combination of tunes. So should we jump into this?
Yeah, so this one is entitled New Theory, John. So I didn't put them in any particular order. I just said, right, I'm going to bung this one on and I'm going to bung that one on. I'm not picking them, history or rundown.
Me and my partner will discuss these things in regards to the actual playlist in a second. But okay, so this is Washed Out, a song called New Theory. One of the best and purest pop songs probably released in my lifetime, almost like a successor to Brian Wilson in a lot of ways. It comes from one of his early EPs called Life of Leisure, which really had an impact on me when I first heard it all those years ago. I think it's 2008, 2009. I think it's 2009. Washed Out has been characterized as relating to chill wave, but I'm not really sure what that actually means. So I generally associate those type of genres with rather weak music, but this sounds like something much stronger than that to me. He has said he's influenced by hip hop. Anyway, his name is Ernest Weatherly Green Jr. And he runs under the name Washed Out. Started making music in a bedroom at his parents' house in around 2008 and used to upload it to his MySpace page, which shows us old people. And this just sounds like, it really sounds like a late summer track to me, actually, like the lights changing and the sun starting to fade a little bit earlier in the evenings.
Jump out, all the rage, all the on Tracks FM, Tracks FM.
You're listening to John Bowes All the Rage, a summer tune special tune by Washed Out and New Theory. As I said, these aren't your normal tunes. This ain't your George Benson and Michael Jackson stuff that we would normally play. And you'd think that John Bowes is probably into that. Well, he's not really at all. He's into hip-hop and left-field stuff.
Some of you this summertime in the past, you might have played some R. Kelly tunes, but I've got a feeling there's going to be a few less of them around this year.
Do you know, I had to take all this stuff off the auto stream. I didn't realise it was such a big thing. It's sad, really, I didn't realise. Because normally I take it, when there's an attack on a black artist, I normally take it with a pinch of salt, you know. Very selective, you know. But then I saw the documentary and stuff like that. And it was such a shame because this whole thing has spread across different minorities, even African and Bata's involved in something, which I was shocked at. And a lot of the American and UK, the world hip-hop community are absolutely condemning him. And I'm thinking, God, all that stuff he did, what do we do with it? All his influence.
To be honest, mate, I know how people feel on an individual basis, and I don't criticise that. If there's artists you listen to, and then you suddenly find them quite unbearable, you know, because of things they've done in real life, I understand that. But at the same time, I don't really think it amounts to anything. I mean, so what? If you had Michael Jackson's done loads of terrible shit and people are still playing his records. I mean, the truth is that it's not going to make a great deal of difference. If anything, you might say, I don't know what the judge's actual judgment was. But if R. Kelly's money should be going to some of his victims now, then you probably should be buying his records, because then that's what I would hope would happen. That's probably not the case. I don't know the ins and outs of it.
Well, but, I'm not saying that the victims of Ben Butter's alleged offences shouldn't say anything. I'm just saying that the influence he had over people like Blondie and public image and Limited and people like that who extended that to all genres of music and influenced them, it's a shame, really. And it's hard, really, when we're bloody old,
But, I'm a huge Miles Davis fan. I'm not going to say he didn't knock his wife around. He did.
Yeah, and Ike Turner was a brilliant musician. James Brown.
Yes.
But they still seem to show Top of the Pop, so...
They show... There's almost no presenters left if you show on Top of the Pop. Anyway.
Shake Your Rump.
Your Rumpa.
So this is by who, John?
This is by the Beastie Boys, isn't it?
Yeah,
This is what happened when they got out of New York and went to L.A., and got into some studio and got away from the clutches, perhaps you might put it this way, of Mr. Simmons, and started making one of the most, certainly 1980s, most quintessentially New York albums by being in LA and doing their own thing. I think this is amazing because this band could have been a one-album wonder in a lot of ways. Things, I think, were set up that way. And instead, they turned out to be absolutely... one of the best rap crews, certainly one of the most creative. This is an amazing album. I mean, and you couldn't, because of all the samples, you couldn't make it today because you wouldn't be able to afford it.
Well, if you're Trax FM, you can use the samples.
Yeah, true.
Because as you know, we've got a label and we've released about 8 singles and they're all samples and we don't care.
John Bouts, all the rage, all the on Trax FM, Trax FM, Trax FM.
Michael Diamond.
No, mine's Clarence.
From downtown
Manhattan,
from Village,
my style's wild, and you know that it's spilling.
This snow bag's dripping, and you're doing the ball.
Shake your rope.
The Beastie Boys and Shake Your Rump, part of the summer tunes on John Bauer's All the Rage. How's your Wednesday going? It's certainly going well here. I've probably had a bad day, but I don't know yet.
I've had a terrible day. I'm a year older.
Is it your birthday?
It will be, yeah.
When?
Wednesday.
This next one is by Concha Velasco called Galore. Galore, not cat. I said it all wrong. Julie probably would pronounce it a lot better than me. But Julie, I didn't think it was John's idea, that you would introduce this one. Take it away, Julie.
So this is Concha Velasco with a song called Galore, which means heat. Concha is, she's 82 now, actually, but she was an actress. She's made 50 plus films in Spain, been in 20 plus stage plays and about 30 television programs. She retired 4 years ago officially, but she also had a singing career, and she was known as one of the chicas yeah. So, you know, in the 60s, it was more a movement in sort of France. Mm. They called it the yeah, yeah, because obviously 60s music was all yeah. You know. So those kind of sort of starlet, trendy sort of girls, you know, Sandy Shaw was considered a chica yeah, yeah in Spain, you know. So she's got quite a career behind her. That's kind of all I know about her, really, to be perfectly honest with you.
John Bouts, all the rage, all the on Tracks FM, Tracks FM, Tracks FM, Tracks FM.
Qué calor en la ciudad.
Qué calor,
es imposible de aguantar.
Qué calor.
La ropa llega a molestar.
Qué calor.
Qué lindo debe estar el mar. Por la playa caminar.
Qué calor
en la ciudad.
Qué calor.
El viento no quiere soplar.
Qué calor.
Las calles llegan a quemar.
Qué calor.
No hay lugar fresco para estar.
Qué calor.
Tu mano quiero yo tomar. Y por la playa.
Concha Velasco, sorry, I've lost my train of thought. Concha Velasco and Calor. Julie picked that one, and I love that sort of, there's some interesting sounds of the 60s, and I think it's missing, not in a bad way, but I think there's certain things or certain sounds that we can produce on the computer now, which is great. But I found, even on my own show, I'm playing some of the 60s stuff, because they're actually using a lot of 60s tunes on Netflix shows and things like that. And I think some of them sound really funky. And there's a certain sound that we can't really replicate on the new computer software now. It's not a bad thing, but I've noticed there's a sweet sort of melody, shall I say. And it kind of, if you wrapped a hip-hop beat on it, it would sound really good. So I'm really looking into a lot of obscure 60s and continental 60s because it's got a certain sound to it, and that certainly fits the bill for me.
There's a lot of compilations of that stuff out there. So as Julie was talking about, the French and Spanish and Italian too. I see comps of that being put out all the time.
Yeah, I mean, in the '90s there was loads of compilations, left field compilations. Mm. Coldcut were releasing stuff as well. And I think in the 21st century they've changed it to under the something they're calling it. I've got the albums, and they're really obscure, you know, the B-side stuff. But there's a certain sound, as I said, that I don't think modern music, as good as it is, certain genres, doesn't reproduce. And you can tell, even as I said, the synths, the drum patterns. There's certain instrumentation in the drum patterns that I can't really replicate. They use a lot of percussion, weird offbeat percussion, and then they've got that synth. I've forgot the name of it now. It's a synth sound, and I'm trying to get it. It's really expensive.
Not the Moog, is it?
Yeah, but there's different versions of the Moog.
And
you can get the right key, but it just doesn't sound the same on a computer.
I think I have a quick theory, and I will make it quick on this, is that I think that one of the things about the 60s is that was the era when, on one side, people were making throwaway bubblegum pop music, and on the other side, you had real kind of musical visionaries who were trying to prove that popular music was actually meaningful and worthwhile. And some of them did that, like Brian Wilson did it with Pet Sounds, and the Velvet Underground did it with their first album. You know, just as a couple of examples, and the Beatles were trying to push it. And I think once it was proven that pop music could not only be serious, but could also make a lot of people a lot of money, they kind of stopped trying as much. And I mean, there will always be, and to this day, there are always great artists who are trying to push musical boundaries in one way or another. And one of the things, harking back to the Washed Out song we played earlier, to me, that's a song that sounds, as I said at the time, just like pure unadulterated pop music, which reminded me of this. It kind of felt like in a kind of lineage with Brian Wilson and people like that. But overall, I think that's probably what happened. Once you'd proved it, people just gave up. The same thing that happened to rave, the same thing that happened to hip-hop to a degree, let's be honest, when that just got so commercialised that people just didn't care and they just wanted to make money from it, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, with hip-hop, I mean, we were sampling the normal stuff. I forgot, you know, every time I put the mic on, I'm really shit with my memory. Bob James. So we were sampling a lot of Bob James, a bit of, you know, Apache, the bog standard stuff, a bit of Frida Payne, basically anything Public Enemy were doing. James Brown and the JBs was notoriously. And it wasn't until De La Soul came out. And De La Soul started sampling 60s, 70s, 80s. They made Hall & Oates famous again. You know,
thanks for that, boys.
Yeah. But they made them famous again, you know. I Can't Go For That was just re-released every year now.
Yeah, yeah.
Due to say 3 Feet High and Rising was revolutionary. And it wasn't even released on a major label, it was released on an independent label called G Street, which is a subsidiary of Island Records. No one wanted to touch it because they changed the narrative on rap. They just didn't, you know, they changed the whole B-boy thing.
Well, and again, made it, for better or worse, made it something that you had to take seriously as a musical form rather than the attitude, I think, really, that was around at the time, that it was just a fad.
Yeah, and they didn't realise, a lot of hip-hop community didn't realise that the UK hip-hop scene was actually, could make it better. So what had happened, Coldcut got hold of Paid In Full, and I know Eric B. Rakim just said that they destroyed that. But with their remix of it, it crossed over using Ofrahaza, Paid In Full. And what CJ McIntosh and Dave Durrell did to Say No Go for De La Soul was brilliant as well, you know, because a lot of the remixes, and then same like Stereo MCs who remixed Jungle Brothers Black Is Black. They called it Ultimatum 3, but Ultimatum 3 were Stereo MCs. And they actually ran G Street Records, and they kept coming out on different names, you know. And and there was a young producer then who was working with DJ Streets Ahead, and he was working on samples and stuff, and they kept getting turned down. He eventually went on to be Fatboy Slim.
Ah.
And he was working with DJ Streets Ahead and Danny D and all that. So the UK were actually pushing this new version of hip-hop and all these new samples. And I'm not afraid to play that stuff now due to those groups. I'm not afraid of it at all. It probably helps having your own station.
It does.
So last week I played a track, Tommy James and the Shondellas, Crystal Blue from 1969. It's a beautiful track. You could sample any of it. Make a note of that, kids. Tommy James and the Shondellas, Crystal Blue. And there's any part of that you could sample. And with the new technology now, it's weird, and why I say the beauty of continental 60s music, especially, we've got a new piece of software where we can break each part of the instrument down. It takes the drums separately, the vocals, the rhythm, the bass line, and when you hear them separately, it is amazing. It just, you think, oh my God, this is amazing. And it's kind of like you're stealing, because you haven't got, normally you wouldn't have access to the multi-tracks, but with this new piece of software you can actually break each part of the instrument down and hear it on its own, and it's really nice. So when I hear this 60s stuff, I'm hearing it in a different light, and I'm saying, I'm going to nick a bit of that, and I'm going to take a bit of that, and I'm going to put a bit of that, and then I'm going to release it and just say it's from the original Pirates. And you can try and sue me if you want. And I'll donate all my money to John Baez All the Rage. No, but I mean, yeah, so that was a wonderful choice, that one, Julie. I love that one. This next one, Sacred Sands, John.
Right, so the Sacred Sands, which is by a band called A La La's, who were introduced to me by Julie, actually. This is from their great self-titled first album. It's a lovely little instrumental. I believe this lot are made up either all or mostly of people who met when they were working at the very well-known record outlet in America, Amoeba Records. And I like this kind of slightly ghostly sounding, sort of surfy, bit of an outsider sound. They kind of sound like an old band you didn't know about. You know, they're so kind of strong on that 60s tune is you kind of think, this lot could have been somebody I missed. So I love the first album. I love their second album, Worship the Sun. I didn't particularly like the next two albums, but then maybe, I don't know, maybe I should go back and listen to them again, because it took me a little while to get into the second one, actually.
John Bouts, All the Rage, on Tracks FM. Tracks FM. Tracks FM. We'll be right back.
You're listening to John Bowes All The Rage, and we're going through a summer tune special, but not your normal summer tunes. And obviously a bit of chat in between. Not the normal chat, as I said, we're talking about music, which is can bring up a plethora of ideas and sounds and different groups and groups you've probably not heard of, which is always a good thing. And as I said, we were talking about the 60s music and stuff, which used to be consigned to Radio 2, and apparently Radio 2 is, and has been for quite a few years. I think a lot of the mainstream Radio 1 DJs from the 80s, they moved them to Radio 2 and probably took that age group for them. I just find that some of the music system, the music on Radio 2 is actually better than Radio 1. But that's probably my age, as I said. I'm being disrespectful, I have no interest in the current top 40, absolutely none. I just, you know, but then again, I was always like that anyway. John?
Yeah, I can relate to that. Especially in my teenage years, it's when there was some, I think I said this before, when we did some hip hop shows years ago, and I remember saying that, this music finally felt like I had my thing. And, you know, it wasn't just whatever's coming out the radio, which sometimes it might be all right and the rest of the time it was rubbish. But it was like, finally, you've got this is your thing. And there was kind of some weird trepidation too, because, you know, there was all these arguments about authenticity, which I completely absorbed, and whether or not, you know, I should be listening to this as a suburban white boy, whether I should be listening to hip hop or whatever else. All these kind of things that no one has to worry about now, because we did it for you.
Well, I mean, I can understand the sampling of the artists and people like James Brown saying, well, look, you know, I want some of that money. Absolutely. And, you know, but it's weird. Yeah. They had to get what they due deserve, not through the original contract, which is probably an awful contract.
Yeah, well, exactly.
They had to go through the back door and get the money off hip-hop artists who actually reintroduce it. And I've said this on your show before. And this is probably true, Stetsasonic talking all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line in it and said, tell the truth, Jane Brown was old, till Eric and Rakim came out with I Got Soul.
Mm.
And, you know, it's those sort of lyrics that make me think, oh, God, you know, you sort of question it, you know. Because let's be honest, like the James Brown back catalogue, which is huge, many artists, Fred Wesley and the JBs, Bobby Bird, you know, I've bought so many 7-inches of all the stuff, but it wasn't until after hip hop.
Yeah.
Quite rightly, these artists should go after their money, but what bloody contract did you sign in the first place?
Well, I remember having this argument when the big thing about downloads hit and artists said, oh, they're having the stuff stolen from us, whatever. And I was kind of like, yeah, because the music industry was wonderful to you before this came along. What are you talking about? You know, I mean, it's like, I know there's that aspect of it. Maybe some people were, you know, I always tended to find that if it was, you know, some millionaire complaining about losing 69 cents, you know, I'm looking at you, Lars Ulrich, then it was kind of like, yeah, do me a favor, mate, piss off. But, you know, if I just seen some new band in some grotty venue in London, I thought, yeah, I'm going to go and buy their CD. I think that's fair. Or their LP or whatever. And ultimately, and I think we've just seen it with films too, where, you know, certain critics, for instance, and commentators like Mark Kermode said this for years, which was release everything in every format more or less at once. Release the film in the cinema and then release it to the streaming service, and that will cut piracy. And sure enough, it pretty much has, because you can go and see the film in the cinema, for those of us who like going to cinemas, and there's a lot of us around. That's what we do. And then you can just stream it on your television service tonight if you want to. And equally, I think, you know, if you get people who are kind of more into vinyl now in a lot of ways and a specialized, much better sound, and you get the easily pleased people who just think, oh, I'll just stream it and I'll listen to it there. And I'm not saying the artists are necessarily getting a better deal now, but you always got a shit deal from record companies because that's what they did to you. Don't pretend that there was bread and roses until downloads came along. You know, maybe we're having the same point.
Well, it's interesting. I was really peed off because what happened was the CD companies, Philips and Sony, the CD company said, how do we get people to buy our CD players in the 90s, right? And what they did is they bought all the record companies, which was Polydor and people like that, and CBS and all that. And then they told the record companies to stop printing vinyl. So this is how they work, you know. So I'm more pleased when you get artists coming along like Stormzy and even Ed Sheeran to a degree and building their careers on their own YouTube channel and their own PayPal account, and you buy it for 60p directly to them and you bypass the companies.
Yeah.
Because to influence such a genre as vinyl, it's quite upsetting, because I still use the concept of turntablism. I value it. I could have got CDJs or whatever they're called now, but I still use vinyl. I still use turntables. And now, because they decided, because of the streaming service, they started to fund the vinyl again and make out that people are actually buying it. Now they're not. You've just made it more available for people.
Yeah, right. It's you've made it less specialist.
Yeah, you've actually put it back on the market. And you know what? There's people there to buy it, because you took it away from them in the 90s just to sell your CD players.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not a clever thing, I think, just to buy the record companies and shut down a whole format of music. Listen, I'm a turntablist. I'm a DJ, you know, by essence. I came up as DJing. And to take that away from us is just absolutely terrible. God bless Serato, who kind of made everything all right. Anyway, this one is by the Shangri-Las, Remember. Any introduction to this, Julie or John? You're probably better at it than me.
Yeah. But I was just going to say, when you just going back to what you were saying about vinyl, don't you think there's something in that about the quality of the sound? So people, whatever it is you get, because you know, I'm a Luddite when it comes to things like that. I've always bought vinyl, always.
When the groups used to record on vinyl in big studios, particularly Static and Waterman, there's a guy called Phil Harding, a wonderful studio engineer. I mean, he has two studios, back in the day, really expensive, and they were identical. Everything was the same in either studio. And he was bunging out all this stuff, and he was using two pieces of software, but it was hardware software, and it's something that you're familiar with vinyl, this sound. And that's something called tube. They would use that on the final mix. It's a tube sound. It gives it a very warm sound. I've actually got one on the computer now, so I can actually, I always put it at the end of a mix. I run the mix again in that tube sound. I know what Julie's talking about. It's hard to explain. It's a very sort of a warm sound.
I
think kind of the resurgence of vinyl is to do with the quality of the
sound. And you're seeing, as I say, with the vinyl and vinyl releases. So we've got a DJ on our station, or two DJs, or two presenters, a DJ Specific and Whirlwind. We run a label called Beeline Records, and they release their stuff on vinyl as well as digital. And I know their engineer, and it's UK hip-hop, and it's fantastic. He's got an album out now. But everything's run through Bandcamp, not a label, or their own label. And the studio uses that tube element at the final mix. So everything runs through there, and it's a deep, warm sound. You don't really need it on pop music, because pop music now is... So I'll give you a hint of pop music from a DJ point of view, because the DJs tell me, and some of them are on Trax FM, they can only play a tune for 2 minutes tops. That's it. They can't play anything more than 2 minutes, because people walk off the floor. That's the current state of dance floors at the moment.
Yeah.
They've got to be very quick, because the attention span is minimal. So they've got 2 minutes. The sound is very... Aesthetic, is it? Or I don't know. It's very cold. It's a 4-bar intro, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, and then that's it. They've got to kill it. It's the next track. Whereas I'm from a school where you would wait for the break 4 minutes later.
Exactly.
And then you'd hear that warmth come up through the break. You know, it's very hard to explain. It's kids won't understand that, but I would say two words: rapper's delight.
Yeah, okay. But hey, kids, if you don't understand that, you might understand the Shangri-Las.
You listen to John Barrett's All the Rage and the Summer Tunes Special. Many thanks to John and Julie who've joined us for these tunes. This next one is called Hurts. Who's the artist, John?
This is Amel and the Sniffers, an Australian punk band who are, I think the both of us have been fortunate enough to see live a couple of times. They are stormingly good live. Saw them at the in Brockwell Park at the Wide Awake Festival earlier this year. And that was a good day, and they were really, really good. Yeah, this is a song, if I remember rightly, this is about renting a car and driving into the country.
Tracks FM.
Sound of who's the artist again, John?
Amel and the Sniffers.
Okay.
they've got a collection of EPs out there, and they've got this album which is called Comfort to Me, that from which came out this year. Oh, last year, beg your pardon.
Yeah. Right, okay. And we're going to play out with this one, and it's a familiar one for the, you know, on our Trax FM normal output.
As opposed to the abnormal shit I've for the last hour.
No, I have no problem with the normal output, but I tend to I'm not particularly a fan of something that the output of All the Same. I'm just not into it. I understand people like All the Same and clap clap, well done to you, but I think for us to be the original pirates, I think we should be playing bits and pieces of other independent music, which is what keeps the industry alive.
I completely agree.
Yeah. It keeps the industry alive, and it's interesting. One of the deep presenters, not DJs, presenters that I came up with, came up through and influenced me a lot was John Peel. When I couldn't hear hip hop and soul and funk on the radio, apart from two shows a week, if that, was John Peel. Because he'd just drop a tune, you know. I remember him playing World Famous Supreme Team, and just, oh my God, what the hell is that, you know. So that was independent music, and I like to think that we do, or would try. Anyway, this one, as I said, is by Julie. Do you want to introduce this, Julie, or shall I?
Yeah, sure. So this is Days Like This by Sean Escoffrey, which I thought was... So I never heard this... when it was released in 2002, and I thought it was much older than that. You know, I thought it was a song from back in the day, and it was kind of like one of those songs that was sort of skating around my periphery, and I'd heard it a few times. And then I went on a soul weekend with some friends to Spain, and he was there performing it, and ever since then I was like, oh, it just kind of landed, you know, and it was a really hot, sunny day, and it just worked. So, yeah, it's a song that reminds me of summer.
All the Rage with John Bowd. On www.traxfm.org.
now. I'm smiling from the inside, cause we've got nothing to hide. I love things like this, yeah. I love things like this. It's here, here, here comes the sun. Whoa, here comes the sun.